If it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. Hello, everybody, and welcome. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to serve you, our listeners. If you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, we cordially invite you to call now, 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, that's 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and now, his thoughts to open today's program. Here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about Jesus's victory cry from the cross this month. It is finished. Yeah. It's a perfect subject in the love month. Every February, everybody talks about love and Valentine's Day and all of that sort of stuff. Well, if you want to know what love is, take a look at the cross of Jesus Christ.
Indeed.
It was there that God demonstrated his love for you and me, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. We see that same sentiment, that same truth being expressed by the Apostle John in his first letter, chapter 4. See what great love the Father has bestowed on us, that he sent forth Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. So we love because God first loved us. That is such good news. And if we're struggling in our day-to-day experience, if life is just tough, we're wondering, you know, what it's supposed to be about, I think we need to take a fresh look at the cross. I think we need to look back and say, God, reveal to me, show me again your great love for me. That squares everything for us. That gets us back to where we need to be when we again take a fresh look at the cross and realize that God really does love us, and he has demonstrated that for us. I want to read this passage out of 1 Peter chapter 2. So Peter is writing about suffering, and we all suffer in this world. We all experience external temptations. The world is trying to get us to conform and to follow its ways again. But Jesus says, hey, here's some truth that can help you stand out instead of caving in to the pressures that are all around you. So he gives himself as an example. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. So what is Jesus's example to us? The fact that he entrusted his Father when pressures mounted on him, he continued to entrust himself to his Father. Mm-hmm. So how are we to live in this present world in exactly the same way? When pressures mount, when the world tries to press down on us so that we will conform to its ways, we simply continue to entrust ourselves to Jesus Christ in exactly the same way that he entrusted himself to his Father. Now listen to this. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So why did Jesus die? Why did he bear our sins in his body on the tree? Well, to forgive us, to set us free from sin and death, to release us from that power. But here's what he says, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. We were controlled by sin. That's what controlled us when we were lost, when we were dead spiritually. Mm-hmm. But Jesus Christ's death on the cross freed us from that relationship with sin and death, and enabled us to live a new life in righteousness. So we've died to sin so that we could live to righteousness. And then he says this, by his wounds you have been healed. Something was wrong with your soul. You were under the control of sin and death. But Jesus Christ healed that soul of yours. Now it wants to live to righteousness. That's why Jesus Christ died. To heal that soul of yours, to make a change on the inside, to give you a new heart so that you could do exactly what he did. That was entrust himself to his Father. We can entrust ourselves to Jesus Christ in exactly the same way. We were once sheep straying, but now we have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Yeah. That's what the cross allows us to do, to return to Jesus, to have these souls of ours healed so that we can die to sin and live to righteousness.
Yes, indeed. Bob, thanks for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for joining us. You know, this month we're saying thanks to our donors with a powerful CD series by Bob Christopher. It's entitled, It Is Finished, exactly what he's been talking about as we open today's program. Well, what we've heard and seen over the many years of this basic gospel ministry is that many true born-again believers have never come to realize the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in their lives. Perhaps that's true of you. Perhaps you struggle daily with fear, guilt, and shame over things you've done in the past, or maybe still are doing. Well, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've believed the truth of his death, burial, and resurrection, there is no need to live with those constant burdens anymore. Jesus took all that away when he died on the cross. He took up all your sins upon himself, and now he wants you to live free in his resurrected life, because it is finished. We have a copy of this six-message CD series for you as you make your gift to help Basic Gospel keep the good news on the air and online. Donate anytime at basicgospel.net, or you can call right now if you're hearing the live broadcast. Michelle would love to hear from you. If it's about 6 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, it is the live broadcast, and that number is 844-322-2742. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of It Is Finished. Again, that's at basicgospel.net or 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and start today with Barbara listening to us in Michigan on our great affiliate, WMUZ. Hi, Barbara.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi. Can you hear me?
We sure can. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Oh, thank you so much. Now I'm kind of feeling kind of guilty. We were at Bible study, and my pastor made a saying that if we were talking about tithes, and I brought up that we shouldn't be up under the law of tithes, and there shouldn't be an amount that we give. I'm a little nervous. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah, you're okay.
5%, 10%, whatever. I said, out of 2 Corinthians, he's talking about, Paul's talking about giving from our heart. Well, he said, if you really love the Lord, you would give 10%, and I said that's not fair, and I went on to say that there's three tithes, and you're only requiring one, and I went on to say it's part of the law, and that this in the New Testament, it's not that we're supposed to give tithes. And he said, he went on to say about the first fruits in Proverbs, and then he also said that in 2 Corinthians, they were given to the poor, and that had nothing to do with tithes. We should note the tithes. And he got kind of angry because he said, either you're going to teach or you're going to learn. So now I feel kind of bad. I don't know.
Well, you took a stand, Barbara, and you asked him about what he was teaching, and you brought the Word of God into that conversation. And obviously he didn't like that very much. He felt like you should be in a place of learning instead of a place of teaching in that particular conversation. But you were just having a conversation. You were asking some questions, and you were sharing with him what you have been learning in your own study through the Word of God.
Truth.
And that's exactly right. You've been learning some truth about this grace of giving and how the Bible, in this new covenant, calls us to all excel in the grace of giving. And this is done cheerfully with joy in the heart as the Spirit moves us. So there's not a 10% obligation or a 5% or a 20%. It's what you can give based on what you have. That's how we're to give in this new covenant. And Barbara, that's the real issue. What covenant are you in today? If you were in the old covenant, tithing would still be an obligation. Why? Because there would still be a priesthood that needed to be supported, that were unable to support themselves because of the regulations of the law. So all the other tribes brought tithes to the storehouse, and those tithes became food substances for the priesthood. But when Jesus died on the cross, he put an end to the old, and he ushered in a new. And there was a change in the priesthood. And whenever there's a change in the priesthood, and this is in Hebrews chapter 7, it says, for when there's a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. So the priesthood changed. The Levitical priesthood is no more. Jesus is now our new priest, and he is ushered in a new covenant. And this is a new covenant of grace. And in this new covenant of grace, we give according to the grace of giving. We allow the Spirit of God to move us. And if we would just trust the Spirit of God to do in everyone what the Spirit of God wants to do, we wouldn't have to worry about trying to guilt people into giving. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes so much sense.
Yeah, so
yes,
Barbara, don't feel bad for raising questions. Don't feel bad about sharing what's going on inside of you and what you are learning. In anyone, if they want to have a civil conversation, anyone who is secure in who they are in Christ wouldn't take offense to that and would say, well, I appreciate the good points that you are making there, and I want to look into that further.
Right.
Yeah. So, Barbara, I think you are learning exactly what the Lord wants you to know, and he is encouraging you to excel in this grace of giving. But you're recognizing that it's all a part of this grace of God that you're experiencing through faith in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Thank you. Thank you. It makes so much sense. Thank you so much, because I was feeling like maybe I just shouldn't have said anything.
Yeah.
So
we're glad you did.
Well, you threw it out there, and let's leave the results of that in the Lord's hands. And I hate that you feel guilty for that. I hate that your insides are churning because you think you may have stepped on toes and was out of line in the conversation.
Right.
I hate that for you. We shouldn't feel that way in the body of Christ ever.
No.
But we do. Why? Because there's hierarchies. We like to put clergy above laity and, have a delineation between the two. Well, the Word of God doesn't do that. We're all one in Christ. We are all saved in the same way, by grace through faith in Jesus. We all have equal status in the kingdom. We're all children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's truth. And each member in the body of Christ has been gifted so that as a body, we can experience the fullness of Christ together. So, Barbara, you recognize who you are in Christ. You're a child of God. You have equal footing with everybody else, and praise the Lord for that.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And, Barbara, hang on. I want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And we really talk a lot about this new covenant that we live in that book, and I would love to put that in your hands, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You hang on, Barbara. Thanks for your call. Yes. God bless you for growing in the grace of God and taking a stand for the grace of God. You hang on.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's good to hear from Barbara. We're glad that she reached out, and you can reach out as well at 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Taylor, Michigan, and talk to Tony. Hi, Tony.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I was raised Catholic, and I converted to the Lutheran faith. And yesterday, our church had a quarterly, we call it Defending the Faith, session, and in which we compared the different Lutheran synods. And I'm curious as to your take on this idea. Why was it that God allowed his church to be so fractured between all the different denominations. You've got the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians, the Catholics, the Lutherans, Orthodox, etc. What do you guys think is the reason why his church has become so fractured?
Well, that's a great question, Tony. And, at the end, we'll kind of see why the Lord allowed that. Obviously, there's some good reasons. Part of why we're so fractured is because of our own ego and pride. We want to be right instead of enjoy the fellowship of believers. So we pick, certain doctrines, and we draw a line in the sand. And, if you believe like we believe, then you can be a part of us. But if you don't, then, you can't be a part of us.
I've come to feel that it is a means of testing our faith to determine whether, in fact, we have a strong enough faith to accept the doctrines of the particular church we favor.
Well, it's like any club. If you want to belong to a certain club, then you have to adopt to their ways, right?
Exactly.
So they have rules and regulations, and so a lot of the churches are the same way. So they want to mark you out as one of their own. And so here's what we believe, here's what we do, here's the things that distinguish us from other groups. And so you either mold yourself to their image, or you say, no, I don't believe that, and you go find something else. But here's what I want to say about this as well, Tony. There's certainly freedom and liberty in how we worship. And many people have said, hey, we want to worship in a particular way, or we want to be able to do this. And in the body of Christ, within God's economy of grace in this new covenant, there's certainly freedom and liberty to do that. And that's okay if we don't use that freedom and liberty as a tool of judgment, that it becomes something that we judge negatively toward others who don't worship like we worship, type of thing. So there's freedom, there's liberty, and there's a good thing about this, Tony, is that power within the church isn't concentrated into just a few people. It's spread out, and I think that's a powerful thing. Like here in America, the Constitution was framed in the way it was so that there would not be a state church that would control the religious activity in the United States of America. So we wanted to have some freedom and liberty so that people could worship how they chose to do so without that being mandated by the government itself. So there's some great benefits to it as well, isn't there?
There certainly is, and one of the concerns about being a citizen of the United States is freedom of religion.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And it allows us all to believe our beliefs, but I still worry. I just hope when I get there, I hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And
well, Tony, are you in Christ? Are you in?
Definitely a believer in Jesus Christ as the true the living God.
Well, Christ is in you. That's so you're in Christ. Christ is in you. That's a relationship that is a forever relationship. And when you go and be before him, your story is going to be a story of faith. I want you to go after this conversation. I want you to read through Hebrews chapter 11. And every person mentioned in Hebrews 11 They're being commended for their faith. Now, there was a bunch of rascals in that mentioned in Hebrews 11, but God doesn't remember their sins, and when he tells their story eternally, it's a story of faith, and that's what your story is going to be about, too, your faith in Jesus Christ.
By the way, did you mention the chapter, Hebrews 11 chapter?
Hebrews
11?
Yeah, Hebrews chapter 11.
Hebrews chapter 11. Connor.
Yes, sir.
Well, God bless you guys, Bob and Bob. And
thank you, Tony.
I listen to you all the time and certainly do appreciate your program.
Well, thank you, Tony. Thanks for your call. We appreciate hearing from you, my friend.
Certainly, absolutely. Well, Bob, you had another call.
Well, we had this that came through on our YouTube channel, and someone wants to know about James chapter 4, verse 8.
Who is that someone that wants to know?
B.
B.
Yes, yes. So it says there that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Why does James use the word sinner there? Because he is talking to sinners. He's not talking to children of God.
Yeah.
So he is giving an apostolic invitation to those who are lost to draw near to God, to allow the cross of Jesus Christ to give them the confidence to say, yes, Lord, I want to receive you, and I want to be in this close relationship with you. So throughout the New Testament, there is not a time in that any of the apostles or the writers ever refer to believers in Christ as sinners.
Absolutely.
So if he's using the word sinner here, it's because that's who he's addressing, sinners.
Yeah. B, thanks for reaching out. Good to hear from you. And Bob, very quickly, had this question from Paul. It says, I'm studying dispensationalism, and I'm always landing on faith alone. I'm leaning toward New Covenant theology. Any thoughts on this?
Well, dispensationalism is just a systematic theology. It's just a way to look at the Word of God, to overlay this system, and hopefully to gain some better understanding as to what the Word of God is saying. It's been made popular by C.I. Schofield, Dallas Theological Seminary. It basically divides human history into seven dispensations, and that God deals with mankind in each dispensation in a different way. And each time, man basically fails the test, and so he brings in a new dispensation. I used to be a staunch advocate of dispensationalism. I think I've changed my view significantly. I think the Word of God tells one story. It's the story of Jesus Christ, and that God has always dealt with mankind on the basis of by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
Indeed.
The one thing that we do need to pay a close attention to is the difference as far as purposes are concerned between the law and the grace of God. The law simply shows us our sin. It can't fix it. Grace, and that comes to us in Jesus Christ, he's the cure.
Yeah.
He takes us from death to life, from unrighteousness to righteousness, from unholiness to holiness, and then he comes and lives inside of us.
Yes,
so
indeed.
So the law shows us our need. Jesus Christ brings the solution of life.
Paul, thanks for reaching out. It's good to hear from you, friend. And friends, thank you for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, a reminder that we love hearing from you, our listeners. If you have questions, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. We always will welcome your call, 844-322-2742. Also, the love, prayers, and support of our listener friends are always vital components that keep the Basic Gospel message of grace in Jesus Christ on the air. And as you make your gift this month, we want to send you the six-message CD series, It Is Finished. These messages will help you enjoy living free from fear and guilt concerning sin. Request your copy today when you donate at basicgospel.net. There's a prominent donate link right on the homepage, basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back tomorrow, same time, same station, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.